motion approved. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. We will rejoice in it. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that you will just come now. Holy Spirit, you're here. You're here. But Lord God, I pray that you will just speak. You will speak through me, Lord. And Father, just anything that's of me will just go, and it'll just be all of you, Lord. Nothing of me, all of you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You know, the last time, well, first of all, you know how, like, I like to coordinate. I like everything to match. Anyone who knows me, I'm just a bit daft about things like that. You know, I like all my clothes to be matching. I like my shoes and my handbag to match. I've even got matching Bibles for my outfits. You know, I take things a bit too far sometimes. And I was just having a wee chuckle to myself as God had given me this word, you know, because I was thinking back to what Stephen spoke about last, and he spoke about salt. Well, what God has given to for me to speak about this morning is light.
Amen.
And so I just thought, oh, that's good. It's something that matches. So there we are. So Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, my mother has a funny wee story about light. My mother was brought up in a wee place called Applecross in the West Coast. Don't know if any of you are familiar with Applecross. And it's a lovely wee place, well worth a visit. A horrendous road to go on your journey up there called the Bialach. And it's some road, a bit of a white knuckle, bends and really sheer drops and single track. But it's a beautiful place when you get to the end of the Bialach, when you come there, it's lovely. Anyway, my mother recalls that when she was a little girl, there was no electricity in Applecross at all. And they had these paraffin lamps that they went about with. And when it was dark at night, it was completely dark. Absolutely, completely dark. Pitch black. And there was no street lights, nothing like that. And when you just had your paraffin lamp, and when everybody came into the house and they had their lamps, it was a bit brighter, but it was really dim when you just had one wee paraffin lamp. And she remembers the first person in Applecross to get electricity. And they lived in this big house, and it was sort of set back and up a bit, and they stayed in this big house. And my mother was desperate to go and see this electricity as a little girl. And my granny took her up to visit these people. And when they were going up, at night, and they had the little paraffin lamps, and everything's really dark, and they can just see the bit in front of them, a bit like that verse, you know, the lamp to our feet, you know, a light to our path. But then when they came round the corner, they could see this house that stood out because it was lit up. It was all lit up in the darkness. And they came to this house, and my mother, as a little girl, was just in awe and wonder at the, how bright it was, and this light. And they went into the house, and they had a little girl, and she was demonstrating to my mother the electricity and the switch, you know, and it switched it on. And my mother was just in absolute awe. And to my granny's horror, she was switching it on and off and on and off and on and off like a disco. And was being quite annoying. So that's just a wee story. And so in Genesis chapter 1, if we just go to the very, very, very beginning of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. That's the very first words that God ever spoke. Let there be light. And what happened? God saw the light that it was good.
Yeah.
And God divided the light from the darkness. And do you know, that's the gospel.
Amen. There. Yes, right. Yes, amen.
And that first wee passage of the Bible, that's the whole gospel.
It's true.
You know, Jesus is described as being the light of the world. He's coming to the darkness of your life,
yes, amen,
and mine. And he is the one that's made the difference.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus came into my life was steeped in sin. And God brought me into a church. And believe you me, that was the last place that I wanted to be in. And God used the pastor that day to speak to me powerfully through the Holy Spirit. And that is one of the Holy Spirit's jobs, to convict those in the world of sin. And boy, was I in the world. And boy, was I full of sin. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit was doing inside of my heart that day. And I felt uncomfortably exposed in that church. That's how I was feeling. Because the Holy Spirit was doing a work within me. And I was feeling, how could that this man know these things about me? How could he know these things? And by presenting the gospel to me at that point in my life in a very simple way, Jesus was offering me this robe of righteousness to cover my filthy rags. But in my hour of need, my arrogant self was kicking back and saying, God, if you really are real, prove it. And he did. In a very personal way that only he could. breaking down every wall of defence that I put up to rescue me. And that is the light of the gospel just shining through and coming into people's lives.
Amen.
And you know, another coincidence today, you know, today happens to be the first day of Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is like the festival of light. And it is the Jewish festival of dedication. And in the book of John, we see about Jesus, I think it's John 10:22, Jesus attended the festival of dedication. And the whole reason behind Hanukkah was 200 years before Jesus came. This incident happened in Jerusalem. It was invaded. Jerusalem was invaded by the Syrian army. Now, the Syrian army were very powerful. And they came, they invaded Jerusalem, they desecrated the temple, and they just overthrew everything. And basically what they did was they put idols up in the temple, pagan idols, and they refused to let anybody worship the Lord.
Wow.
And they were saying basically that the Jewish people must worship these pagan idols, you know, or die. And this is what was happening. And a lot of them fled to the hills. Those who could escape from them fled to the hills. And there was this small group of people that had escaped to the hills. And they were led by a man by the name of Judah Maccabee. And his brothers were at the hill, in the hills with him, and a group of peasants and farmers and a small group of people. And Judah Maccabee said, "This is not right. This is not right. Nobody should be telling us that we can't worship the one and only true and living
right.
God. It's not happening, you know." And he was like, they were just saying, right, we're going to do something about it. And they were just a very small group of people. And there's this vast Syrian army. But they decided, no, we're going to fight. We're going to come against this. And so they came against this vast Syrian army. They weren't trained soldiers like they were in the Syrian army. They didn't have weapons. They weren't equipped. But they came against the Syrian army. And miraculously, God gave them the victory.
Mm.
And it was completely and utterly miraculous. So they went and went up to the temple, which had been completely desecrated. And they wanted to worship God in the temple, but the temple had been completely desecrated. They had been sacrificing pigs and everything, you know, just to kind of really desecrate the temple completely. And so what they decided to do, they needed to find some special oil, you know, to relight the menorah, and they needed to find this special oil. And they eventually found this little amount of oil that would just light it for one day, just enough for one day, that had been, that was pure oil that the priests had made up. So they lit the menorah, they decided to go ahead by faith and just light it. And you know, it kept light alit for 8 days until they managed to start making all the pure oil again that they needed, and until they managed to get the temple sorted and everything. And God was faithful and allowed them to do that. and it was miraculous. So ever since then, at that time in the winter, they continue to celebrate this festival of dedication in remembrance to what happened. And today is like the first day of Hanukkah. And on the first day of Hanukkah, what they do is there's a, in the menorah, I'm wearing a menorah today, in the menorah, the candelabra there, the centre candle, is a bit taller than the other candles. And the centre candle is called the servant candle. And this is the servant candle that comes and lights the other candles. And the servant candle comes and it lights the first candle on the first night, and it stands with it, a light. And then the second night, the servant candle comes and lights the second candle, and so on and so forth, until by the eighth night, all the candles are ablaze and it's complete. And, you know, to me, that is just such a picture of salvation.
Amen.
You know, because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And our bodies, you know, sin, when came into this world and basically desecrated our temples.
Yes.
And what we've needed to do is like rededicate our temples back to the Lord.
Amen.
And this is what Christ does, the light of the world. He just comes like he did to me on that day, and he just lights us, you know, brings in the light to just clear away all the rubbish.
Amen.
That, you know, that Satan has just come in, like the enemy, just like the Syrian army came in like the enemy. Satan just came in to just desecrate and destroy. But Christ came in just with the light and just completely cleansed this temple.
Amen.
And just allows us just to burn for Jesus and to shine for him. And he's standing with us as that servant candle. And we have to be servants, being faithful, standing with him. And, you know, I love the way how it just continues and nothing stops it.
Yes.
You know, because this is, it's like God's miracle.
Yes.
And you know, nothing's, you know, the world might look really dark and a lot of awful things happening there, but you know this, nothing's going to stop God.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to stop him.
That's right.
God is continually at work, and he is continuing to light people's lives.
Amen.
He's continuing to cleanse temples.
Amen.
Of people, you know, of sin, and people are standing with him as servants.
Yes.
Burning for him.
It's good.
And as that's happening, it's cutting through the darkness. Mm-hmm. And people are seeing the light.
Amen.
People are seeing the great light.
Amen.
The great light of the gospel. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. We're carriers of the light.
Yes.
We are his servants.
Amen.
We are shining the light of the gospel. And that's what really should be making a difference. People should be able to see that.
Yeah.
You know? You can see a light shining in the darkness, can't you? It's obvious. And that's how our lives should be. So, how do we reflect the light of the Lord in our lives? How do we do that? Well, I believe the answer is found in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's take a wee look at Ephesians chapter 5. So Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 8 to verse 10. That's Ephesians 5, verse 8 to verse 10. And it says, "For you were once darkness," past tense.
Amen.
"You were once darkness, but now," present tense, "you are light in the Lord."
Amen.
"Live as children of light."
Thank you, Lord.
How do we do that? "For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness," "righteousness and truth, finding out what's pleasing to the Lord." It's about putting off this old self. This old self here has died. Yeah?
Yes.
We've crucified our old selves. We've put on our new self.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to fully embrace this new self that's cost our Saviour everything. And we've to walk uprightly in these robes of righteousness. We're sons and daughters of the King.
Amen.
Amen.
And we've to allow Christ to shine through us, illuminating the darkness in order to point others to Christ.
That's right.
You see, righteousness is not earned. It's God's gift to us.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
You know, we can, do lots of good things, but that doesn't make us righteous. It's God makes us righteous.
Amen.
And He gives us a robe of righteousness.
That's right.
In exchange for our filthy rags.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Amen.
It's just like the parable of the prodigal son. You remember when he was away, he had spent all the father's money, all of his inheritance. He blew it all on riotous living, and then he ended up, he had no friends. He was really sad and lonely, and he had got this sort of job feeding pigs, and you know, he was in this pigsty with these pigs, and amongst all the mud and squalor, and he was really miserable. And he was thinking to himself, you know, gosh, in my father's house, you know, I had good clothes, I had something nice to eat. And here he was so hungry, he was just eating the pods that fed the pigs. And he thought, I'll arise and I'll go to my father.
Yes.
And perhaps, just perhaps, he might just let me have a job as a servant. He might just take me on, just give me a wee, just even just the least of the servants. At least they got fed. At least they had a bit of warmth and shelter. Mm-hmm. And if I can just have that, I'll be happy. And so he's sort of miserably going back to his father with his head down, trying to rehearse what on earth he's going to say, and sort of worrying about it, worrying about this encounter. Because how bad has he let his father down? But yet, when he's far off from the house, he sees this figure in the distance, looking out. And who's this? But this is his father. And his father must have been faithfully coming there day after day after day, his heart broken over his son. And here he sees his son coming in the distance. And the father runs towards him.
Amen.
And picks up speed as soon as he realizes it's him. And even though he's dirty and he's stinking of pigs, you know, the father, that doesn't matter to the father. Doesn't matter at all. He's not said to him, right, go in and get a bath. You know, he just throws himself onto his son and embraces him.
Amen.
And he said, get him a robe. He immediately puts the robe on him and a ring on his finger and celebrates because he's come home. And that's just what the Lord does for each
Amen.
And every one of us. Mm-hmm. He gives us this robe of righteousness.
Yes.
We don't deserve it. But it's because he's our Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves us.
Amen.
And he lavishes his love upon each one of us.
Yes, amen.
And goodness. Well, goodness, I guess, is like a moral virtue. And it's active. And it's selfless. It's a real desire to do what is right. And pure and beneficial for others. And that reflects God's own character. Because as we were singing about this morning, God is good. All the time. And this is us reflecting the character of God. And God wants us to bless others.
Amen.
Jesus said himself, you know, that, you know, the greatest commandment, you know, was basically to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love others, basically.
Yes.
And how do we demonstrate our love to other people? That's through goodness. We're good to people.
Amen.
Yeah.
We want to bless others.
Yes.
And there's lots of ways that we can bless others. Suppose we haven't got two halfpennies to rub together. We can always bless people. We can bless people with kind words, with encouragement, with praying for people, with just spending time, taking the time to listen to people. That's showing love. That's showing goodness. It's just caring. Just caring. And you know, even when it's like inconvenient, that's when you really see goodness at work.
Mm-hmm.
When it's completely inconvenient for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got so much on, we've got lots of other things to do. But yet, there's an opportunity for us to show the goodness of God. There in front of us. Do we take that time, even though we don't have it, to do that? And sometimes God just wants us to do that.
Amen.
And, You know, it's just, what's the Holy Spirit saying to us through each situation he presents in our path? There's always opportunities to do good to others.
Yes.
Always opportunities. Very often when we're praying, when we're spending time with God, people will pop into our heads. I'm sure you've all had that.
Yes.
And you can ask God, what can I do to show goodness to this person? And the Lord will tell you. If you listen, the Lord will tell you. And it's incredible, absolutely incredible, how it can just be the right thing at the right time. I mean, I've been blessed by so many people just listening to God, doing the right thing at the right time, and I'm sure you have too. And so that's goodness and righteousness. And truth. That's another vital part. You know, righteousness as well, you know, is part of the armour of God. It's a breastplate of righteousness, isn't it? It's not just a robe. It's the breastplate, which protects us as well from the fiery darts of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very vital again, because we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Just like the Maccabees were when that Syrian army came against it. We're in a battle. But we've got this armour of God, the breastplate of righteousness. And here's another part of the armour, really, that's in the scripture. That's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the armour is the belt of truth. We've to be girded about with the belt of truth. And you see, one of the names of the enemy is the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's out to do, to trick us, to deceive us, to believe all sorts of rubbish about ourselves that's just not true.
That's right.
You know, how many times have we thought about ourselves, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, no, you know, there's no way I could do that. There's no way that this even with bringing this to you, the enemy was coming in and nipping my ear and saying, well, you can't speak about truth. Who are you to speak about truth? You know? He was bringing up things that I hadn't been truthful about in the past.
Oh.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the enemy does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But do you know this? God is faithful. And God is true. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. And my life is hid with Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm no longer under the father of lies.
Hallelujah.
And I'm standing with him this morning.
Amen.
And we all are. We're all together.
Yeah.
And I just see it as like we're all just shining for him. And it's so apt that our fellowship here is called the Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come together, we're shining brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because the more light you have,
exactly,
the brighter it is.
Yeah.
And we've all got a part to play. There's things that I can't do that you can do. And you're in one bit, I'm in the other bit, and you're bringing light to another area. And that's why we're a body. That's why we work together.
Yeah.
And you know, with truth, you know, comes all sorts of things as well, and we work our way through truth. And it can be difficult sometimes, because it's all to do with trust as well. And sometimes there's a lot of people who have let us down and not been truthful with us. We've been betrayed and really hurt by people. And, you know, the thing is, Jesus will never let you down.
Amen.
He's faithful. He'll never hurt you. He'll never betray you. There's nothing, you know, you can fully put your trust in Jesus. Because he'll never, ever fail, as we were singing this morning. You know, he'll never, ever let you down. Never leave you or forsake you.
That's right.
He's always there for you. Faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. And so, his word is true. Every single word in it
absolutely
is the truth.
Yep.
Amen.
Absolutely. No shadow of turning with him.
No.
He's the truth. 100%. And his character, we've to reflect his character. We've to reflect that truth in our lives. We've to reflect that goodness. We've to reflect his righteousness in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's our light. As we do that, our light shines brighter and brighter and brighter.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing it says there is, we have to find out what pleases God. And you know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you want to please them. And you, as you're growing, you find out more about what interests them and what they don't like, as well as what they like. And what you try to do to grow in your relationship with them is get rid of the things they don't like and start homing in on the things that they love. And then that gets you closer and builds a relationship. And if they're doing the same thing, then that's what builds a relationship. And we know that Christ is everything that we've said here. And it's us that need to think, right, I need to get rid of all this old stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that don't please him. And these are the things that please him.
Yes.
And so I can stand with him. And as I'm doing that, as I'm growing in these things, getting rid of the old things that don't please him, and as I'm growing in the things that do please him, I'll shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And his name will be lifted up.
Yeah.
And it will draw people to him.
Amen.
And we're no longer living for self. We're living for him. That's the place we have to find ourselves coming to.
Yeah.
And verse 14 of the same chapter says, wake up,
yes,
O sleeper.
Amen.
And rise from the dead.
Yes.
And Christ will shine on you.
That's right.
And sometimes, you know, we're sleeping, you know, and we need to shake ourselves a bit and just wake ourselves from the slumber and just get everything over to him and just let him shine on us and just really reflect his goodness, reflect his truth, reflect his righteousness. Because that is what this lost and broken and hurting world need.
Yeah.
And we'll just end with Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, just these are just the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. And it says, Matthew 5, 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. You know, it's funny because Jesus is the light of the world. But he's come now and he's lit us. He's lit our hearts. And he's saying now, you are the light of the world.
That's good, yeah.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, like the house on Applecross with electricity. Cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
That's what pleases him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for what you have done in our lives and for what you are going to do, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise you that you have come. You have come, Lord Jesus. You have died on the cross in our place. You have taken on all our guilt, all our shame, all our sin. You've taken it all upon yourself. And you have exchanged our filthy rags for robes of righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that we can stand whole in your presence. We thank you that you have shone the light of Jesus into our lives, Lord, that you have consumed the darkness and you have taken away, you've cleansed this temple of all the rubbish. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for your armour. We thank you for that breastplate of righteousness that protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, for that belt of truth that we're girded about with. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that's a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. And it's the truth, Lord, the truth, Lord, that sets us free.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that you will help us not only to be salt, but to be light in our everyday walk with you, Lord. That people will be drawn to you, Father.
That's right, Pastor.
That people will be drawn to you.
Yes.
Help us to walk as sons and daughters of the King in our robes of righteousness, with our heads held high, looking unto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. And Father, help us to do good to those around us. Thank you, Father. Help us to be a blessing, as you are a blessing to us. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would see many people coming to the saving knowledge of you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
As we just stand and reflect and illuminate your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can I just share a testimony? It's about what you've been talking about. Steve knows about it. This is amazing, right? It's not theory. This is not theory. Right? Do you actually believe that you are carrying the light of God inside you?
Yes.
Do you really believe that? It's not just words, right? I've had things happen to me in the last few years. It's not. This is not about me, by the way. It's about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I was I went to Dobby's Cafe with a guy who was unsaved, and when we went out to his car in the car park. I led him to Christ. He was sitting in his driver's seat. And so he's got the door open, right? So I'm praying for him and laying hands on him, right? And he opens his eyes and he says, "What's that light?" And I says, "Well," I says, "it's a really sunny day. It's really bright." He says, "No," he says, "it's not the sun." I says, "What is it? I can't see anything." And he says, "It's pure white light." I says, "Where is it?" He says, "It's behind you and all over you, wow. Over the top of you." Wow. And I went, "Really?" Wow. Right? That happened, right? I was praying for a woman for deliverance some years ago, and I had a sense, I had my eyes open. I didn't see anything, but I sensed there was a lot of light there. I don't know how, but I just sensed there was a lot of light. After we prayed for deliverance, she said, "Did you see all that light?" I said, "No, but I sensed it was there," right? Third time. So a couple of years ago, I had a real longing to go to Barbados because I just retired. And I said to my wife, "Do you fancy going to Barbados?" She says, "Oh, I can't swim, so what's the point?" And I says, even though I'd tried a lot to teach her, but I says, "It's not just about beaches." And I says, "It's a whole island, a lot of things to do." No, I didn't fancy going to Barbados, you know. Some people give the right hand. Anyway, so there was a friend that was going to come with me, and then he starts talking about Antigua. I says, "No, I've got to go to Barbados," I says, right? So I said, "Right, stuff it, I'm going myself," right? So I said, "Lord, you're going to have to help me here, right? Because I've travelled myself, but I've never gone on holiday myself. And it's scary, right? 2 weeks on the other side of the world. Help me, and would you just give me divine appointments," right? Mm. Boy, did he give me divine appointments, and it started on the aeroplane, and it went on for 2 weeks, right? But I just got to tell you this one. So I was in the capital city, is it Bridgetown?
Yeah.
And I had my little picnic, and I was sitting by the marina, and just about to eat, and this local guy comes and sits right down beside me, right up against me, and starts eating his chicken. And I'm thinking, can you not just sit somewhere else? I mean, can you not sit over here? Why me? Right? And the Lord says, "You ask for divine appointments. This is it. Stop your grumbling." Right? So I said to him, he had a big cool box. And I says, "What's in your cool box?" And he opened it up and he says, "I make healthy drinks." And he said, "This one's for blood pressure. This one, it's all natural ingredients." And so I said, "I'll have that one." And the Lord said to him, "I want you to give him so many dollars more, Barbadian dollars more, a set amount." And when I gave it to him, I says, "I want to bless you with this." And he says, "Wow," he says, "I lost that amount today." Wow. I don't know if he dropped a note or what, but I lost it. And I said, "I really feel I should give that to you." I was, you know. And I said, "I've got something that will really change your life." I said, "I love your drinks. I love what you're doing." And I says, "But I've got something that will transform your life." He says, "What is it? I've got to know," he says. So I told him about Jesus. I told him what I'd done for him. I told him what I'd done in my life. And he says, "I must have this," he says. He says, I had a grandmother that used to read the Psalms to me. And I said, "Well, this is part two." And he bowed his head and he gave his life to Christ.
Amen.
And I says, "Okay, if I lay hands on you to be filled with the Holy Spirit," and I prayed with him. And when he opened his eyes, he gasped. He went, "Wow, wow," he's like this, "Wow." I says, "What's happening?" He says, "Light, light." And I says, "You mean you feel light?" He says, "No, I see it." I says, "Where is it?" He says, "All round us," he says. He says, "It's pure white and blurry," he says. "All round us." And so I'm like, "Really? I can't see anything." And I said, "Well, you've just come from darkness into light." I believe he saw the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe he saw the Holy Spirit. These guys saw the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We are carriers of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We are carriers of the light of God within us. Yes. When we start to believe it and step out in it, we'll see things happening.
Amen.
You know? And I said to the guy, "I've got to go and catch my minibus back south again." He says, "I'll take you to your minibus." And he showed me a couple of sites in the city on the way. But we ended up in this dodgy area, and I had Googled, where don't you go in, where shouldn't you go in Bridgetown? That was there, and I thought, the Hambleman Street. I says, is this a ghetto? He says, yeah. And I says, but you shouldn't be here. He says, don't worry, he says, my dad's the boss. So we're walking through this ghetto, right? And I'm thinking, is he taking me into an ambush or something? And there was these guys, dodgy characters all around. And these characters saying to me, have you come for the pharmacy? No. But I says, this is my new friend. And you know his dad, don't you? In other words, lay off. But I should have shared the gospel with him. And it was just, the guy took me straight to my minibus, gave me a fist bump, and you know, I've changed a couple of details, contact. But isn't that amazing? Yes. And that holiday was full of stuff like that.
Yeah.
One of the security guards on the hotel, we'll tell you this a little quick. A guy on the beach, like with dreads, said, would you like to get some, let's buy some ganja, right? I says, ganja? I've got something better than ganja. I says, I would like to give it to you. He says, what is it? So I started to share it with him. Oh, you know, I told him about Jesus, right? But right beside us on the beach, there was a table full of guys from Tyneside. And they said, they had a bit of the conversation. They says, are you a drug dealer? I says, no, he is. But I says, I'll tell you what I've got. And I shared it with the whole table. And they loved it, right? And the security guard, I ended up speaking to him. And I prayed for his deliverance and everything, because he had a witchcraft ankh he was wearing, right? I says, look, that's, you know, that's bringing stuff into your home. In fact, it's destroying your marriage. And I says, all that disruption in your marriage is stuff that you're bringing into your home. I says, chuck it in the sea as far as you can. And I prayed for him, for his deliverance and everything. And this guy literally was pouring out, right? There was just every pore just sweating out of his arms, everything. I says, what's happening to you? He says, heat, he says. And God was delivering this guy, you know?
Yeah, man.
Just saw so many wonderful things like that. Guys on the street that came up to me and all that, you know. But just to encourage you, you know,
yes.
I was sitting here this morning, I was thinking, you know, the love of God. Oh, the love of God.
Amen.
It reaches to the highest heavens. And it reaches to the lowest depths
of hell.
And it takes people out of hell.
Yes.
And you know, the love of God for people who are in addictions, who are in prison, people who are messed up, people who have been abused, people who are deep in sin. The love of Jesus for those people, you know, the love of Jesus for them in this area.
Yes.
And he wants to touch people in this area.
Amen.
He wants to bring the light. We are going to be the light in the darkness here.
Amen.
Right? And bring light into people's lives. Believe it, folk. You've got it. You've got that Holy Ghost generator inside you. Let it loose. Let it loose.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
Oh, I'm excited.
I mean, there's no coincidence that Stuart's been brought to us for this season. Because myself and the leadership team are really praying at the moment for the plan ahead for the next year. And there's so much that God's saying about outreach. This is a new season for outreach. Look what Franny's doing. She's already, her heart's been stirred, and she's done the wee gathering, and that's bred so much fruit. Stuart's already doing stuff. We're going to utilise you, Stuart. But what God's saying to us is to come together as a church and work together, not as lone rangers. We can support each other to reach out, to be a brighter light, as Ali says. And that word I brought at the beginning about linking in and being a magnet to people, that linking in, that's a word that God's been giving me from the very start of this church, that we link in. He says, work on the relationships. And then this is going to, you know, it was a picture of a fishing sort of chain, and we were going to be able to get a massive catch if we all link in and work together. So that's what I'm praying about for next year, and I pray you all go away and pray, how can I get involved? What's God saying to me at this time? Because I'm going to be on your case next year.
Yeah,
let's stand for that.
Yeah, no,